has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll be starting in a minute or two.
Okay. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Today, we will be studying the first Aliyah for the Parashah of Miketz. It starts at Genesis chapter 41, verse 1, and completes at verse 14. The total of 14 verses. We know that the number 14 connects to King David, the name of David, who is a chariot for the Sefirah of Malchut, representing manifestation. And I think you're going to find that the subject, the story, does connect to manifestation of a very significant principle. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarechu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu liakta l'shem yud hei bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lach sok Torah mitzvah v'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu p'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu p'neneihu. Verse 1. Vayehi miketz shenatayim yamim uparo kolem vehine omed al hayor ayor vehine min hayor Sheva paru parot yifot mare uvriot basar vatirena ba'ahu. Wehine sheva parot acherot arot acharechen min hayor raot mare vidakot basar vatamotna etzel haparot al sefat hayor. Wato kalna haparot raot hamore vidakot habasar et sheva haparot yifot hamariye v'habiriot v'yikat paro v'yishan v'yachalom shenim v'hine sheva shibalim olot bekane echad beriot vetovot vehine sheva shibalim dakot ushtufot kadim tzimochot acharechen Wativlana Hashibalim הדקות את שבע דהשיבלים הבריאות והמלאות ויקעת פרו והנה חלום ויהי בבוקר ותיפעם רוחו וישלח ויקרא את כל הרתומי מצרים ואת כל הקמך וספר פרו לכם את חלומו ואין פותר אותם לפרו ודבר שר המשקים את פרו למור את התאי אני מזכיר היום פרו קצף על עבדיו ויתן אותי במשמר בית שר הטבחים אותי ואת שר האופים ונחל מה חלום בלילה אחד אני והוא איש כפתרון חלומו חלמנו ושם איתנו נער עברי פבד לשר חטבחים ונספר לא ויפטר לנו את הלומותינו איש כחלומו פטר ויהי כאשר פטר לנו כן היה אותי הישיב על כני ואותו תעלה וישלח פרו ויקרא את יוסף ויריעו צוהו מן הבור ויגלח ויחלף שים לוטיו ויבוא אל פרו. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. But before we look at the English, there's a word that seemed to be repeating in the earlier verses. I had difficulty pronouncing it. The word is Ya'or. It's spelled Yud Aleph Resh. And I'm not sure what the word means, and we'll find out when we read it. It appears in verse 3. I think that's the first time it also appears in verse 2. But the word is using the same letters. No, it didn't. I thought it had the same letters as the word or, meaning light. But it sounds like light. It would have the same letters if the vav appeared. But the vowel is there. The letter vav doesn't, so the gematria is not the same. But it is, most of the time, it has a definite article attached to it, the hey at the beginning of the word. And it has the yud at the beginning of the word, which would indicate that it's an action. So we're going to find out what it means. but it would spell the word light if it was complete. So let's find out what it means. By the studying the translation. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh, Paro, was dreaming, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And behold, from the Nile were coming up 7 cows of handsome appearance and robust flesh, and they pastured in the marshland. I believe it means that they were coming up. In verse 3, and behold, 7 other cows were coming up after them from the Nile, of ugly appearance and lean of flesh. And they stood beside the cows which were on the Nile bank. I'm now looking at the Hebrew in verse 2 and 3 to behold, they. Yeah, it does mean it is connected in some places with the word, the verse 2 with the word mem nun. That dash between the two words you may have seen, that is known as a trope. And it's telling you that there's a connection between the two words. It's one of the trope signs. Verse 4, and the cows of ugly appearance and lean of flesh devoured the 7 cows that were of handsome appearance and healthy. Then Pharaoh awoke. So one question I have for you to think about is, what is the lie in Pharaoh's dream? Starting again with another dream in verse 5, and he fell asleep and dreamed again. And behold, 7 ears of grain were growing on one stalk, healthy and good. And behold, 7 ears of grain, thin and beaten by the east wind, were growing up after them. And the thin ears of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy and full ears of grain. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called all the necromancers of Egypt, and all its sages, and Pharaoh related to them his dream, but no one interpreted them for Pharaoh. You'll notice that it didn't say that he related to them his dreams, but only one of them. And then we read last night that the necromancers means the magicians, and the sages means the students of astrology, which is a very interesting way of defining the sages of the Western world. Verse 9. Now the chief cupbearer spoke with Pharaoh, saying, I call to mind my faults today. Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in prison in the house of the chief slaughterer, me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream on the same night, I and he, each one according to the interpretation of his dream we dreamed. And there was with us was a Hebrew lad, a slave of the chief slaughterer. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. For each of us, he interpreted according to his dream. And it came to pass that just as he had interpreted, so it was. Me he restored to my position, and him he hanged. So Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they rushed him from the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothes, and he then came to Pharaoh. And we read yesterday, last night, in the that this verse that we typically read as a Pharaoh sent, and they and in rushing from the dungeon, he shaved and changed his clothes. But it was really that Joseph was the one who prepared to see the king, because he realized that he was going to be saved. And this is the manifestation that is a spiritual law. You have to fall spiritually in order to rise to another level, to the higher level. That falling is a test. Do you deserve, do you merit learning that next level? Does anyone have any questions? We will now begin to study again the where we left off, if I can find the same place. So the section from the Unique Astrological Times link, we have a link under the Hanukkah section that brings you to the Safaria website. And the Safaria website, if you'll search for the word Hanukkah, one of the first links brings you to a whole list of interesting aspects associated with Hanukkah. And we start with the section, I believe it's the 14th set paragraph, but I could be wrong on the counting. It starts with the section Shabbat 21b, verses 3 and 4. This is from the section of the Talmud called Shabbat. And 21b is the page number in the Talmud, and if you're not aware of it, each page of the Talmud is numbered by a name and a number, and then an A or B. whether it's the right or left side of the page. And then each one has a verse as well. And this is referring to the Mishnas. The Gemara, which came later, is explaining the Mishnas. And we learned earlier in this discussion that the Baraitas were many of the sources of what's in the Mishnah. And always be aware that the Mishnah has the same letters as Neshama. So it is really teaching us that the Mishnas are levels of soul. And as we know, we have five levels of soul. So we're not sure, or I have never read how the Mishnas relate to which level of soul. But they are held in high esteem, the Mishnas. And the Sefer Yetzirah, each verse in the Sefer Yetzirah is considered a Mishnah, some aspect of soul. Vikavta ein zakuk la urmin hu mitzvata mishetishka hachama ad shetikle regel min hashuk my love deikavta hadar madlik la La de la ad lake mad lake we in a mail shira ad shatik le regel min hashuk we ad kama maraba bar bar chana amar rabbi yochanan ad kalya Rigla de Tarmodai. I want you to notice in this paragraph you see a question mark. But that's not how Hebrew defines a question. This is a contrived use of the English aspect. And also, as we know, the Torah does not have commas. It does have periods. There's a particular trope that represents the period, the end of a sentence. And there are ways of the trope defining pauses. So the commas and the periods are English ways of explaining to us where to pause in the reading of the words, where to stop, where the sentence, the idea is completed. But there's no question mark. There are ways to say questions, and maybe that's in these three words, four words, in that first part of this pasuk. With regard to the opinion that one need not rekindle the Hanukkah light if it is extinguished, the Gemara asks, and is it true that if the Hanukkah light is extinguished, one is not bound to attend to it? The Gemara raises a contradiction from that which was taught in a Baraita. The mitzvah of kindling the Hanukkah light is from sunset until traffic in the marketplace ceases. Does that not mean that if the light is extinguished, he must rekindle it so that it will remain lit for the duration of that period? The Gemara continues. You'll notice certain of the words are bolded. That's to tell you this is coming from the Mishnah, and that the other words make the English flow better so that we can understand it easier. Do you understand the question that's being asked? It's a simple question. If your wick goes out, the light goes out, before the half hour is up, are you required to rekindle it to try and light it again? Or have you met your obligation of lighting the Hanukkah candle? You've done the mitzvah, and you don't need to do it again. Now, we in students of Kabbalah will know, or should know, that the light went out for a reason. But this Mishnah is coming and saying to us, since the obligation, the mitzvah, is to promote and teach about miracles, that if the light goes out, we're not doing that. But if it's late at night and no one's expected to come by when we do the lighting, then we can't teach the mitzvah. And so we have the physical lighting of the candle, but not the true spiritual message of the mitzvah. That's what's being asked. How do you do the spiritual action of the mitzvah? The next section is from Mishnah Torah and also from the scroll of Esther and also from the scroll of Hanukkah. You may not know that there is a scroll of Hanukkah, but there is. We do not read it in the synagogue. We do not read from it in the Torah. It tells us the story of Hanukkah. So it didn't just come from nowhere. It came from the scroll of Hanukkah. And in Hanukkah, it's chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. But I'm going to leave that for tomorrow because we're out of time. And it is a lengthy discussion. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I had exactly what you were talking about, and I'm not quite understanding. I lit my Hanukkah candle the other night, and before I got to lighting the others, it went out. One of them went out. So I relit it. Now, you said there had to be a reason that it went out. So how do I find out, why did it go out?
You could ask a dream question.
I figured you'd say that.
But it's easier to really think about what you did during the day.
Okay.
You had to do something during the day that would have caused it to go out. Okay. Now, many times people will say, especially if you're lighting in the doorway of your home, there's a wind. And people will say, well, it's going out because of the wind. But Kabbalah would teach it's going out for a spiritual reason. And the wind is just the effect of that spiritual reason. But people would not normally think that the wind, which is that it happens many times during a day, and sometimes even in the summer when there's no wind, it happens. We don't understand that. And so it's too common an event, so we don't think it happened. And I've heard people explain, well, it went out because it was the air conditioning turned on. So why did the air conditioning turn on?
Or my question too is, why did just one go out, and not, if it was the wind, and not all of them? Because the others stayed lit, but that the first one that I lit is the one that went out.
Which means it's the third. I assume it was last night. If it was the second night, then you have to look at what the actions were during the first day.
Well, it wasn't last night. I don't know whether it was last night or not. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, you will eventually remember, or as part of the dream question, you'll ask if, because it's significant. Because you're asking, why did only one go out and not others?
Right.
And it has to do with what I said last night about the light of the light of Hod that went into the vessel of Bina, and then the light of Yesod was moved into the vessel of Chesed, and the light of Malchut was moved into the vessel of Gevurah. So it relates to that as well, because the light is in a vessel that is too large for it. What does it mean, large spiritually? It doesn't fit right. It's like wearing a garment that is too large.
It's like when you take a large and you buy an extra large.
Correct. But even I was going to use the metaphor of the three-year-old who's dressing up in mommy's shoes. Obviously, the shoes are too big for her feet or his feet. And they stumble. That's what it means when the light is in the wrong vessel. It's an option of chaos. Now, it's not really chaos in the sense of physicality, but it's chaos potentially. And that's why the house of Shammai, and after Mashiach, we will light 8 candles the first night, not one. Because then every light is in its correct vessel. And those candles will not go out. They will burn all night. Now, that will not happen the day that a Mashiach announces himself, because there's a process. But when the 1,000 years of wonder and peace comes into our experience, I've never read that the lights will last all night. But to me, it's just appropriate. It has to be that way. But I'll also tell you that there are many people who will not go to the effort of asking a dream question, and who will not go through the effort of searching their actions to discover why the light goes out.
Well, when you say something about asking a dream question, I'll ask a dream question, but it's like I'm not really good at interpreting, you know, exactly what it means. So maybe,
well, as Joseph said, dream interpretation belongs to Hashem. So go to a student of Kabbalah. You're welcome to come to me.
Okay.
And I will understand the message. But you have to do the work of searching your actions. As we read in these paragraphs that we've been studying about Hanukkah, we read that if you have a problem, and I didn't say it to you at the time, but I'm going to say it now. If you have something that's a problem, and the Talmud spends many verses on what is a problem, what is chaos, and the one item that just stuck out to me was there was one sage who said for him, chaos is reaching into his pocket for 3 coins to give tzedakah, which we do in the morning when we say a particular paragraph of the morning prayers that connects us to the word certainty, vadai. During that reading of that paragraph, we lay 3 coins of tzedakah into a messenger, into another parishioner, another prayer per person praying. We lay it into his hand, and then he puts it into the tzedakah vessel for us. But this sage says, chaos is reaching into your pocket and picking out 2 coins or 4 coins and not 3 coins. Now, would you ever consider that to be chaos?
No.
But that's how detailed Hashem is. When we say everything is a matter of the control of the spiritual system, it's even down to that level. Now, none of us need to be worried about whether it's, I think, 2 coins or 4 coins. None of us needs to be down to that level. But a sage, a tzaddik, they need to be aware of that. Because they have to search themselves, just as we were taught in our study of Hanukkah. We were taught that we have to search our actions. And if we don't find it in our actions, then we have to attribute it to this lack of study of Torah or the inappropriate study of Torah. Perhaps you haven't set a set time for Torah study, which is one of the mitzvot that is part of Torah study. And if you'll notice over the years, I have added additional classes that are at set times. And while you all say to me, it's okay for you to sleep out in those late classes, I know it's not okay. Because that's a set time of Torah study for you and for me. And I will then make a connection, because as I was talking, the thought occurred to me for Brandy. When a light goes out, it has to do with Torah study, because that's Torah study is wisdom. Torah study is light being revealed. So if I was a cause of your light going out by not being present at a class that you were present at, I apologize, and I will do better.
Well, that makes sense with me. I try to, as a friend of mine told me, time is not my thing. He said, time is not your thing. and I try to be on time, but either I'm too early or too late. Not on time. But I'm going to try to be more on time in the future. I'm sure that's what it was.
Well, you're better for you to be in time.
Okay. I can find you.
Did you understand that?
In time?
Yes.
That means being in the right time, at the right place, at the right moment?
It's a hint to it, yes. But in New York, they tell people stand online. And in California, people stand in line. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Word meaning. The letter bet can be translated as on or in or with. Someone who stands online is creating a separation between them and the other people on the line. Someone who stands in line is creating a unification of all of the people standing in line. Words have power, and its significance, how we express ourselves. So if you're on time, you're not, time is chesed. If you're on time, you're using chesed, but you're not with chesed. If you're in time, then it's part of who you are, that chesed. And I'm not criticizing you, Brandy. I'm using a teaching moment.
No, I didn't think you were criticizing me. I was just listening to learn.
Baruch Hashem, does anybody have any questions they'd like to clarify? Or have a beautiful Sunday morning. Our 10:30 class will be continuing to study Hanukkah. As this is a few more days, we have Rosh Chodesh. When is the sixth day, the sixth candle, which is Tuesday night, I believe. So our Rosh Chodesh Tibet connection will be Tuesday night. Let me think that through. Today is the third candle. Monday is the fourth candle. Tuesday is the fifth candle, and the sixth candle is on Wednesday, meaning Tuesday night. So that's correct. Tuesday at 7 p.m. is our Rosh Chodesh event. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day. Shavuot Tov.
Shalom. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Shalom.